WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
All aboard for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Vox Pop travels to the United States Coast Guard's largest training station at Manhattan Beach, Brooklyn, New York. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Fox Johnson and Warren Howe. Come in, Manhattan Beach.
Yes, folks, this is Fox Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
And it's been over a year since Fox Pop chatted with the Coast Guard, and you men have been making glorious history since then.
Yes, since then, the Coast Guard has been in action all over the world. You heard the thrilling news yesterday of Rawa and Macon Islands. Undoubtedly, men just like the ones we'll be interviewing tonight are out there landing our Marines and soldiers on those Jap beaches.
And since then, something else has happened this past year. You've got the spars, and we're going to be talking with one tonight. Warren, suppose you set the stage for what's to come and don't say anything yet about that surprise.
Oh, not a word. Folks, last week at Penn State, we started with a freshman. Tonight, we're going to do the same. Only here at Manhattan Beach, they would call him a boot. This one is 18 and from Flint, Michigan. Robert Carter. A lot of your friends out there, boy. How long have you been here, Bob?
Well, just got here. I'm still wet behind the ears.
What? When did you get here?
Just yesterday.
Oh, boy. You'll be sorry, they said. How old is the haircut, Bob?
About 3 hours.
Oh, really? Well, what do you know about the Coast Guard?
Well, it's a part of the Navy, but it's the best part.
Ah, that a boy. Say, do you know anything else?
Well, gee, give me time. I just got here yesterday.
You know. Oh, okay. Well, Bob, you sit down over here and listen while we talk to these Coast Guard veterans. I'm going to have some wonderful choice tonight. Mark, who's the fellow with the service ribbon to bring up here?
Warren, the Coast Guard has taken a heroic part in every invasion by U.S. troops, large or small. Here's a Coast Guardsman who was a well-known Washington, D.C. reporter and a photographer, and he knows how to talk about what he's seen. Folks, we want you to know him from Washington... Photographer's mate for his class, Manuel April. Right over in front of it. Okay, fellas. Say, Manuel, I guess you were used to excitement before the war, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Newspaper work, but this is a bit more exciting.
Quite different, huh? Where'd you see your first action?
In Sicily.
Sicily? That the invasion?
Yes, the invasion of Sicily.
What kind of a ship were you on?
I was on amphibious transport that was Coast Guard man and landed the troops there.
Yeah, it was a small ship, large ship?
No, it was a very large ship.
Uh-huh.
One of the largest.
And your job?
My job was to take pictures,
mm-hmm.
Report it through motion pictures.
Well, let's take you as a reporter, first of all. You must have seen the lot of things. I wonder if you've got one or two stories you can tell us. Brief stories, things that you saw that impressed you.
Well, there's one story in mind of heroism that I'm thinking of. A paratrooper, Army paratrooper, had a job to do, and he was the second to come in. This is the second of the action, first being the bombing.
Uh-huh.
He followed the bombing, his unit did, and when he jumped, well, he broke his ankle. So he crawled for 2.5 miles on his hands and knees and got his mission through to the Navy so that action might start.
Nothing stops him, huh?
Nothing stops him once the action
whether
starts.
Coast Guard, Army, Marine, Navy, whatever it is.
All services.
That is a job of heroism. You said a moment ago that you were taking photographs. You mean in action and so on?
That's,
was that for confidential Coast Guard and Navy files?
No, that's for the public through public relations.
Well, maybe I've seen some of the pictures.
Well, you've probably seen some of the colored newsreels and news pictures.
Say, did you get any pictures of German prisoners?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Say, I think I heard, too, somebody told me that you took a prize for some of those German shots. Is that right?
Yes, sir, I did.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's a U.S. camera will carry a German picture.
That you made?
Yes, sir.
Say, How did those Germans impress you?
Well, they're arrogant, and they're just the sort of people we have to spend all this time losing our lives to teach how to live.
Yeah.
Arrogant as can be.
Is any special story about any one of them you recall?
Well,
oh,
any
man.
Any particular one?
No, well, I just wondered. Maybe there is and maybe there isn't. Say, I can't think of one. I'd just like to know a little bit more about the Germans.
Well, the Germans are arrogant. Can be.
Well, all right.
I mean,
we'll leave it at that.
in their mannerisms.
Well, Manuel, look, I wish we had time to talk about a lot of things because a reporter really could tell us. But we discovered a little something about you. We discovered that you need a good personal camera of your own. Is that right?
Well, I can always
use one.
Yes, sir.
Dave, would you bring out that 2.5 lens? It's a professional's camera, and we've got some film and an extra lens that goes with it.
That's my
can
nice
you use
camera.
That?
You bet I
anybody
can.
That knows cameras will know what that is, won't
you? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Manuel
you very
April.
Much.
Just want to add that every man who broadcasts on Vox Pop gets a recording of his part of the program, and we mail it to him after the show is over. Okay, Warren.
Folks, here at Manhattan Beach, we were fortunate to meet up with a famous artist who's been in the Coast Guard since a week after Pearl Harbor. 34 now, he was at sea in the Merchant Marine on and off from the time he was 16. He's known as a combat artist with a rating of 4 and Bosun. From New York City, Hunter Wood. Say, Hunter, just what is a combat artist?
Well, combat artist's duties are not only to be a fighting man, but an artist as well, and to catch scenes that remain vivid in his mind so that the public can have them to go by, more or less make a record of vital scenes that the camera doesn't catch.
I see. Well, the fighting part is where the Warren Bosun comes in, right?
That's right. Warren.
Warren. You saw plenty of action, did you?
Yes, I did.
On what kind of ship?
She was a United States Navy Coast Guard man transport.
What were your duties?
I was chief boatswain's mate at the time. I had the 1st Division aboard her. Then I also had the 9th Division, which was the landing division. I had my own beach party, consisting of 48 men.
Well, is that where you were during an invasion on the beach?
During the invasion, I went in with my beach party and soldiers together and landed on the beach, established a beachhead there under Ensign McLinn, who was my superior, and took over control of incoming and outgoing traffic of the landing boats, set up a beachhead, established provisions and supplies for the Army, and held the beach against counterattack.
Well, and the Coast Guard was right there in the middle of the fighting on the beach.
They certainly were.
Well, when did you get any painting done?
The painting I did was done when I was off watch, coming home, after lying up in Gibraltar waiting for convoy back to the States.
Did you make any sketches at the time, or how did you remember afterward what you saw?
Those things remain very vividly in my mind, as they did to everybody aboard that vessel at that time.
Could you tell us some of the most vivid pictures that you remember?
Why, yes, the sinking of the HMS Avenger, Baby Flattop. She went down right astern of my ship, approximately 400 yards astern. She went down at 3:30 in the morning. She sank in 5 minutes. Or 6, to be more exact, and out of a crew of 540 men, there were only about 28 survivors picked up.
Blow up?
She broke immediately in half. She was torpedoed outside the Straits of Gibraltar. Two other vessels went down with her, whose names we can't discuss.
Were there any other scenes that stick in your mind?
Yes. There's one scene that I'll never forget, and I was sleeping in a slit trench at the time with a poncho over my head. Something awoke me at the time, and I never know what it was, but when I opened my eyes, I lifted off the poncho, and the whole sky was illuminated by flares. And it's a rather uneery feeling. It's a helpless feeling. And as I got up, I started walking quietly off the beach, and I noticed everybody else on the beach that had a minute's rest there, and there was little of that, they all commenced walking very quietly off, and nobody said a word getting clear of that beach, because we had the fear, of course, that we might be bombed there at the time. We weren't bombed, however, but it was just a matter that the Germans used to come over there with the JUs, drop those flares, try to unnerve you. More or less try and find out what maneuvers were going on, if possible.
Well, Thanks, Hunter, for the chat. It's most interesting to see a bit of the war through the eye of an artist instead of a camera. Dick Rommelstelzer wants us to present you with a couple of things you might like. And knowing your interest in ships as a painter, here are two fine reference works. The first, the greatest authority of all, a brand new edition of Jane's Fighting Ships, published by Macmillan. And if you want to specialize in clippers, a copy of The Romance of the Clipper Ships, scores of reproductions of old clipper ships, and a set of brown bookends that are sort of a prow of a ship with an anchor on them to hold the books together. And for Mrs. Wood, we have a beautiful ladies' Gruen Verathin wristwatch. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Fine. Thank you very, very much.
And now, our Vox Pop trio with a special introduction for a favorite friend.
Dave, you got Fritz Pipe? No. Oh, stop, look and listen. Our train is passing through. So stop, look and listen. It's talking right to you.
I did it three ways.
And just to make sure that everybody got it, let's have that first part again, please.
Three ways.
Yes, friends, when you're suffering the three-way miseries that may often accompany a common sick headache, the thing to take is Bromo-Seltzer. And why? Because Bromo-Seltzer fights that kind of headache these three ways.
Bromo-Seltzer quickly relieves headache pain.
That's one.
Bromo-Seltzer helps settle upset stomach.
That's two.
Bromo-Seltzer helps calm jumpy nerves.
And that's three. So don't settle for anything that does less for you than Bromo-Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when you're in the clutches of a common sick headache, take the advice of our talking Vox Pop train.
Fight the headache three ways.
Coast Guardsman from Manhattan Beach. You know, folks, the Coast Guard does go everywhere, and it's always up in front when the fighting starts. The Coast Guardsman with me now has been in over 2 years, although he's just now 20 years old. His home is in St. Joseph, Missouri. We want you to know him, Boatswain's Mate Second Class, Merle L. Burns. Say, Merle, where's the Coast Guard taking you?
Well, it's taken me to the Aleutians and also on to Solomon, which I had to invade.
You call the gunners really do get around, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Say, well, what were you doing? What was your job?
I was coxswain of a landing barge in both cases.
Oh, you really take them to the beach, huh?
Oh, yes. We land them under fire.
That Coast Guard usually handle those landing barges?
It's Coast Guard and Navy.
And you coxswains, you're the only fellow that's standing up looking around, aren't you?
That's right. The coxswain is the only one that is visible.
And you've got quite a little job getting into the beach, too, haven't you? That load of men?
Yes, we have quite a job, but we usually make it.
Say, I know you do, brother. What was the toughest job that you had landing troops, Merle?
I believe it was the Gavudu, which is across the bay from Guadalcanal.
That's in that Guadalcanal Solomon's business.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you got them ashore?
Oh, yes, we took them ashore. We had heavy machine gun fire and mortar fire.
Was your boat hit or anything while you were...
No, my boat wasn't hit, but I had quite a few of my men killed.
Is that so? But you landed the majority of the men, is that right?
That's right.
Then I suppose you went back to your ship after the landing was over?
No, I was kind of unlucky. I couldn't get to my ship because it had pulled out.
Many of you left the shore?
There was 150.
Coast Guardsmen?
Yes.
What'd you do?
Well, we joined the Marine Corps.
Joined it how?
Well, we fought right along with them for the 3 months that I was there.
You mean for 3 months you were in the firing line, creeping through those jungles and fought the Japs right alongside the Marines?
That's right. We was no better than them.
You Coast Guardsmen. Yeah, I know what they think of you too, Merle. They think you're great fellas. I wonder what's the most heroic action you ever saw?
I believe it was a boy which all of us remember, Doug Monroe. He was the only one that got to Congressional. And he put himself in between Japanese fire and the rest of us boys who were evacuating troops.
You mean he put his boat and himself?
Yes,
uh-huh.
He put himself and three men.
Well, did it save him?
He saved over 4,000 Marines with his life.
I think I remember that story. I know I do. See if I'm right about it. What were his last words? Do you recall that story?
Did they get off?
That was it.
And after that, he died smiling.
Well, I do recall that story. I think Sigmund Douglas A. Monroe was from the state of Washington, and as you say, he was the only enlisted Coast Guardsman to win the Congressional Medal of Honor in this war. But such devotion is typical of the Coast Guard. You saw Doug Monroe's heroic deed?
I was in a boat about 1,000 yards from his time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the Coast Guard for you. Say, well, we found out one of the things that you'd like to have, and we hope you'll enjoy having them as a memento of this broadcast tonight. First is a Coast Guard blue canvas stitched leather-bound two-suiter suitcase. Can you use it?
Yes, sir.
You can? And as yours was lost there on Guadalcanal, here's one of those famous Gruen Verithrin wristwatches for a man.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you a lot, Warren. Okay, Warren.
Folks, it's a pleasure to be with the Coast Guard again because now they have spars. You know what that roar was, folks. Here's one, the first we've ever talked with on Vox Pop, a charming girl, 22, from the city famous for its roses and ships, Portland, Oregon. Mary Lou Goff. Say, Mary Lou, what were you doing before you joined the spars?
I was going to Oregon State College.
And you were majoring in what?
I'm majoring in psychology.
Psychology, huh? Do you find any use for it now?
Oh, yes, it comes in handy in understanding, getting along with those cheats down at the office.
Don't tell me that you have a hard time with those chiefs down at the office.
Oh, they're really swell fellas after you get to know them.
Mary Lou, why did you join the spars?
Well, because my brother and I decided to join the service at the same time.
Yes, and what part of the service did he join?
Well, he's in the Coast Guard, too.
Ah. Well, how long have you been in? Are you an old-timer?
Sure I am. I was one of the first girls to get in.
Oh, you are an old-timer. You stepped into a man's job here so that he could help out overseas, didn't you?
I certainly did, and the fellow that I released, Phil Hintz, is here this evening.
Oh, Phil is from your office?
Yes, sir, Warren, I got him.
Oh, well, Park, bring him over here and let's hear what Phil has to say about where he's been. And don't go away, Mary.
No, here's the man who couldn't go to sea until our spar, Mary Lou Goff, relieved him ashore. In civil life, 2.5 years ago, he was secretary to the general manager of the Hotel Pennsylvania here in New York City. Folks, from New Milford, New Jersey, Yeoman First Class, Philip A. Hintz. To Phil, the spars are a big help to the Coast Guard, aren't they?
Well, Mary Lou Goff was one spar that was a big help to me.
Yeah.
I'd have missed an awful lot if she hadn't joined the spar.
Well, what would you have missed? A little closer to the microphone.
Well, I'd have missed three invasions.
Three? Three invasions? What's
right? The invasion at Algiers in North Africa, and the invasion at Jaila in Sicily, and the invasion at Salerno, Italy.
Gee, you were on all of them. What kind of ship were you on?
An amphibious transport. We landed the first waves of each of the three invasions.
That was a completely manned Coast Guard, one of the large ones, right?
Completely Coast Guard, the flagship of the Mediterranean Fleet.
Uh-huh. Was it a good ship?
Boy, she was the best ship afloat.
Why do you say that?
Well, she was sighted by the admiral of the fleet, and she came through all three invasions without losing a single man.
Is that so? Not a man?
That's right. And in the last invasion at Salerno, she didn't lose a single boat, which is the best record that any ship, any amphibious ship has ever put up.
Oh, that's what I call... A little bit closer to the microphone. What was the toughest of those invasions, would you say?
Well, to us, the invasion of Algiers was the toughest because we had no air support.
Uh-huh.
But Salerno was the bloodiest one of them all. That was really a terrific affair.
Did you all get bombed a whole lot?
Well, there were 37 times when bombs missed us between 25 feet and 50 yards. That's our ship.
That's too close, brother. I guess you saw a lot of other ships hit, didn't you?
Well, we did see quite a few get hit.
What was your battle station?
I was up on a 40-millimeter gun.
How about the gunners aboard that ship? Pretty good?
They were pretty good. They were commended for excellent fire discipline. They shot down planes in Algiers, but in the other operations, all we could do was get a snapshot at them once in a while.
Yeah.
They stood away from us there.
Say,
afraid.
Yeah, I bet they were. Tell me, Phil, what is the big thing on a fellow's mind just as he goes into an invasion?
Well, I think the most important thing on his mind is how the folks at home are, and he's looking for mail.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that mail is an awful important thing.
Well, you don't get any just as you start, of course, do you?
No, they seem to hold it back on us, but when we get back from an invasion, why, it's waiting there, and boy, just... That's about the biggest thrill you'd ever get to see the boys die for that mail when it...
Felt like Christmas every day, isn't it?
And how?
Say, why are you back in New York?
Oh, I'm back to go to the Coast Guard Academy.
Oh, you're going to get your ensign stripe, huh?
Yeah, they say the ensign is on a par with some of these apprentice seamen.
And you're going after it, huh?
Yeah.
Say, I hear you've got a very interesting hobby. Is that right?
Yes, my hobby is particularly growing roses and shrubs when I'm in civilian life.
That's what we heard. Okay. Now, first of all, we've got a little something for you. You remember, you're going to get a record of your part of the broadcast. But Roma Seltzer knows also that you're a real pipe smoker. I mean a real pipe smoker. So here's a case containing two aged Algerian pre-war briar pipes. They are beautiful. See them over there? How about it? Huh?
Well, I had to come all the way back from Algiers to get them.
That's right. And for a true gardener, a man who does love his roses and know what to do with them, we've got a gift order on that famous grow of roses, the Jackson Perkins Company, for the varieties that you may choose, whatever you want. And that includes some azaleas. And last but not least, it also includes a load of fertilizer. Okay, Phil?
Oh, boy, that's just perfect.
Hi, Warren, what is it?
Well, now, that was a great story, Phil. And by the way, Mary Lou, we want to say right now that the Spars have made it possible for men like Phil Hintz to go overseas, and that's a real contribution to the war effort in just 1 year. For the Spars organization is a year old tomorrow. They've done a good job. And Mary Lou, thanks for being with us, and here are some things for you from Roma Seltzer. A beautiful blue zircon ring with a 14-karat gold setting, and knowing you love the theater and can go out at night, here are two tickets to Touch of Venus, and two to Othello, starring Paul Robeson, and two tickets in the dress circle to the Metropolitan performance of La Boheme. Have a good time and good luck to you. Mary Lou Gullin.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Now, Ernest Chappell has a story to tell, and a very sad story it is, too.
Only the beginning, Warren. Only the beginning. So, I'll begin at the beginning. It was the night of the big USO dance, and Mary, our heroine, was low in spirits.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you see, Mary had put in 8 hours at a war factory, stood up all the way home on the bus, rushed through her dinner, hurried into her party clothes, and now that the important hour was approaching, Mary had a headache.
Oh, dear.
Ah, but Mary's roommate had the solution. Yes, you guessed it, good old Bromo Seltzer. She mixed Mary a Bromo Seltzer, and sure enough, in a short time,
oh, darling.
And the moral of our little story is simply this. Don't let a common tick headache spoil your fun. Take a Bromo Seltzer and see how fast you feel better. Now, incidentally, you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Either way, you get quick, effective relief. So tomorrow, for sure, ask your druggist for Bromo Seltzer.
Thanks, Chappie, old boy. And now, folks, here at Sheepshead Bay... Sheepshead Bay... Close, isn't it, boys? Manhattan Beach has a grizzled veteran who looks as though he's been around, and his service ribbons back up the impression. He's 45, from West Palm Beach, Florida, gunner's mate first class, Robert Hershey. Say, Bob, how long have you been in the service?
It's 1916, Warren.
Well, you don't have any hash marks on. What do you mean?
Well, I wasn't in the Coast Guard then. I joined the National Guard.
Oh, when you were 17, why did you join the National Guard?
Well, it's a long story, but it's a funny one. My dad wouldn't allow us to shoot pool. They had a pool table in the armory in that town, so I joined the...
I see. Say, you have a World War service ribbon on there. What sort of outfit were you with?
Well, I was in the infantry, and the infantry divisions weren't moving fast. They wanted volunteers to go across in the ambulance outfit. I went across with the 29th Division Ambulance Company.
And there's stars on that ribbon, too. Five, in fact, and a silver star there, too. So that shows that you saw plenty of action.
Well, we did see action.
Well, now, having been in an ambulance unit then, you must see a big difference in the way they take care of wounded men now.
Well, the big thing today with the wounded, Warren, is plasma. They're saving lots of boys today because of this plasma.
It's really a wonderful improvement. You realize the importance of it.
Well, I think so much of it that I go there every 2 months myself and give a transfusion.
It's a wonderful thing. What did you do after the First World War?
Well, I joined the Navy. Well, and then the Coast Guard? Well, no, Warren. When Pearl Harbor happened this time, I joined the Marines.
Oh, wait, I can't follow you at all. Well, then, look, how come you're in the Coast Guard now?
Well, I was in the Marine Corps for 7 months. They wanted me to guard naval air stations here. I wanted combat duty. So I made a request for a discharge, and I got it and joined the Coast Guard.
Ah, well, have you realized your wish for action?
Yes, I have, Warren. We've been patrolling in the Atlantic and the Caribbean. It was pretty hot for a while, but it's slowing up there now. Now I've got a new request. I want to get down to South Pacific where it is really getting hot.
Well, things are hopping. Well, look, you've been in the Army, Navy, Marines, and the Coast Guard. We don't have to ask you what you like most.
No, Warren, that's a sure thing. With me, the Coast Guard is 4-0.
Folks, that 4-0 means top. That's all we can say. Is that about right, Bob?
That's it.
Top. Well, thanks very much, Gunner's mate, First Class Bob Hershey. And here are a couple of things from Roma Seltzer for you. A ticket to Brunswick, Georgia, so Mrs. Hershey can visit her folks at Christmas time. And, of course, you wouldn't want her to go alone and have to carry your own bag and all that. So here's a ticket for you, too.
Well, thanks a lot to Vox Pop.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Say, Warren. Here's our food again. Let's find out something.
Oh, yes. Bob Carter, you've been sitting back there listening to all this. What do you think of the Coast Guard now?
I'm going to join an easy outfit like the Marines next time.
Bob, we know you're going to do all right with the Coast Guard. Romo Seltzer wants you to have a couple of things. A Zippo lighter that's windproof and has the Coast Guard insignia on it. And so you'll be the best dressed boot on the beach. Here's an order for a set of tailor-made blues. And, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And wait a minute, you've been here only a day, so you haven't had a chance to get organized yet, have you?
That's right, sir.
Well, have you got a pinup girl?
No, sir.
You haven't? Oh, we thought so. So we brought over a Harry Conover cover girl for you and all the boots here. Wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. She's pretty popular, but all the other fellas can only see her picture, which is in life for the second time this week. Here she is in the flesh, Chili Williams. Step right over here, Chili. Chili? Chili? Wait a minute. By the way, Chili is spelled C-H-I-L-I, not L-L-Y. Chili, would you like to be the pinup girl of all this gang of Coast Guardsmen here?
Mm-hmm. You bet I would.
All right,
how
you're in.
How could I refuse with all these handsome-looking men out here? And you have to be my pinup boy, too.
All right, Bob. You're the pinup boy. Park?
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much, Chili, for coming over.
Warren, it was Chili, but it's not Chili now, is it? Well, I can tell you, folks who were not looking, that our boot really was impressed with his old shipmates around here.
Impressed with Chili, too.
Yeah, impressed with Chili, too. Yeah, folks, it's got to be so long to our Coast Guardsmen for tonight, but we'll be seeing them again, and I know we'll be hearing about them a lot in the meantime.
Folks, next Monday night, we have another exciting location. It's the busiest naval airport on the eastern seaboard, the gigantic old Floyd Bennett Field, now known as the Naval Air Station, Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, and we'll talk with a diversified group of Navy personnel, heroes of the sky, the waves, Marines, anti-aircraft men, all helping to guard New York's vital harbor and the Atlantic coast. So don't miss Vox Pop next Monday. See you then. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
The appearance of the United States Coast Guard personnel on this broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product, but their regulations do not permit the endorsement of any.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits the Naval Air Station at Floyd Bennett Field, New York. And remember, Bromo Seltzer brings you another great show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. It's radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for the time and station. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
Fight the headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.